this week on Core Talk.
I think this is hopefully something that's going to become more of a trend in the future. I think there's a lot of power in having hands-on learning opportunities and giving students the opportunity to connect with their learning to real career fields.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We're a team of professionals, biologists, engineers, real estate and administrative specialists, lawyers, and many other specialties, all working together to deliver engineering solutions that are vital to securing our nation, energizing our economy, and reducing disaster risks.
Safely,
on time,
and within budget.
This is Core Talk, the USAFE's Norfolk District podcast. From harbor port deepening and coastal storm risk management to environmental restoration and research and development, we exist to serve our community because we are a part of it.
Essayons.
Essayons.
Essayons. Let us try.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Core Talk. I am James Walker.
And I'm Tony Funkhauser.
And the title of today's episode is Building the Future. And I really like this title, sir, because when I look at a lot of the projects that we do, whether that's the coastal storm risk management projects or whether it's ecosystem restoration, I look at the problems that they're trying to solve and you look at their plans and you realize that these are not things that we're going to see the benefits of today. These are things that are going to take years to come to fruition. This is for a better tomorrow. This is for a better future. And who is going to benefit from that other than the generations to come? That's what keeps on coming back to my mind, is that it's not for us.
Yeah.
It's for those that are coming after us. It's for our kids, for our grandkids. And today, well, let me back that up. On the 17th of April, we went out to Princess Anne High School, and there, some of the kids from various classes were going out to our wetland site, part of the Lynn Haven River Basin Ecosystem Restoration Project. We were out there to do interviews with some of the students, but one of the students couldn't make it. She was busy. Her name is Aubrey Moore.
Okay.
That's who we're going to have on our show today, and that's
Cool.
We're talking to. And I think that it's going to be an enjoyable conversation to share with the rest of our audience. So to get started, what I want to do is share with you some of the interviews that we recorded while we were out there at Princess Anne High School. The first one will be a biologist from the Lynn Haven River Basin Ecosystem Restoration Project. And then we'll also hear from a representative from the city of Virginia Beach as well.
Okay.
Can you share with us the overarching goals of the Lynn Haven River Basin Ecosystem Restoration Project and how the wetlands restoration aspect fits into the larger initiative?
That voice you just heard is that of Haley Brown, one of our district's public affairs specialists. The next person you will hear is the biologist I mentioned a few moments ago, Gina Dodolo.
Yeah, so the overall goal of the Lynn Haven River Basin Ecosystem Restoration Project is to restore the overall health of the Lynn Haven River, and in turn that helps the Chesapeake Bay because they're connected. And so over the years, we have lost a lot of acreage of wetlands, reef habitat, SAB habitat. So what we're doing now is we're trying to restore those habitats that we've lost to help improve water quality, improve biodiversity. Wetlands also help reduce flooding during storm events. So this phase one wetland project at Princess Anne High School in particular aims to eliminate Phragmites australis, which is an invasive species. And Phragmites has little to no ecological value. So we came in, we got rid of all the Phragmites that was there, and we planted native salt marsh plants. And we've already seen an increase in biodiversity. We have snails, we have crabs, birds, fish, all sorts of things just in our one little wetland. I like that students are really involved in this site because it helps get the younger generations interested in saving the environment. It helps them learn how they can do ecosystem restoration and what ecosystem restoration is, so that maybe that will be their career in the future, because I know that's how I started out. I loved animals and the environment, and I knew I wanted to protect it and restore it.
From the city's standpoint, what is the significance of the ecosystem restoration effort partnership with USACE and other participating organizations?
So this next bit is a conversation between Haley and Jim Milliken, a water quality improvement manager with the City of Virginia Beach.
The City of Virginia Beach has enjoyed a long-standing partnership with the Army Corps of Engineers restoring the Lynn Haven River Basin, stretching all the way back to 2003 when the city first initiated its capital improvement project for restoring the Lynn Haven watershed. We also enjoy a partnership with the Virginia Beach City Public Schools, which ensures that this investment towards restoration continues through the future generations. And without these partnerships with the Army Corps and city schools, none of this would be able to happen. Partnerships is how things get done.
Ecosystem restoration seems like a continuous opportunity for learning for everyone involved and a chance to apply those lessons learned. Seeing these students from Virginia Beach Public Schools involved, monitoring and learning, what thoughts get generated as far as future is concerned regarding the relationship between the community and the ecosystem?
Investing in our future is a key value within the City of Virginia Beach. We have student members participating in city council boards such as the Green Ribbon Committee and the Flood Protection Projects Oversight Board. Students also participate in our Adopt-A-Drain and inlet marking programs, in addition to the environmental education classes that Chris Freeman and others at Virginia Beach Public Schools puts forward. We've also had students participating in great projects such as this one, where we do the monitoring and the planting of these wetland projects. Our ecosystem restoration requires ongoing efforts to ensure that the progress we achieve today is sustained for future generations, in addition to the future generations expanding on the restoration activities in the future.
All right, good morning, Aubrey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and ecosystem restoration. What place does that hold for you?
Yeah, so I am a junior in high school. I attend Princess Anne High School in the International Baccalaureate program, and then I'm also involved in the Environmental Studies program, which is a private-public partnership with the City Public Schools and Chesapeake Bay Foundation. And I've had the privilege to live in Virginia Beach since I was 5 years old, and that has really given me the opportunity to live just a couple minutes away from the Atlantic Ocean, Chesapeake Bay, Lynn Haven River, and really has provided me with a lot of hands-on experiences with the natural world. I'm really grateful that my parents exposed me to a lot of different park systems over the weekends. Throughout elementary school, we were constantly traveling across the Chesapeake Bay watershed, fishing, hiking, paddleboarding, all those types of things. And so that gave me a really meaningful connection with our natural resources and kind of encouraged me to have a desire to protect them in the future. I also, environmental protection and ecosystem conservation in general has always just kind of been in my peripheral because my dad has worked for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation as an ecosystem scientist. And so that kind of knowledge coming from him, I was always very interested in his work, and that ultimately just kind of led me to where I'm in today, where I'm trying to pursue my own field in environmental science.
I find that very interesting. When I was a teenager, I wanted to do exactly the opposite of what my dad was doing. I think it's pretty cool that he was interested and passionate about it, so you also took an interest in it as well. You're 17, 16?
17.
17? Yeah, very, aware and conscious about the environment. It wasn't a concern for me when I was 17. What about you, sir?
Yeah, I think around that age, I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And similar to you, I followed in my dad's footsteps. He was in the military, so I kind of went his route and followed along in the military. But 100%, I think at that age, I was still focused on sports and extracurricular activities. And I really wasn't focused on some of the stuff that you're focused on right now, which is really interesting. So hopefully we can dive a little bit deeper into it in the conversation
today.
Yeah,
definitely.
So Aubrey, back on the 17th, a couple of us were out at Princess Anne High School and you weren't there. Why was that? What were you up to?
So being at Environmental Studies Program, or ESP as it's much easier to refer to, we're given a lot of really cool opportunities to go be more just active members in our community outside of school. And so I was at the Virginia Green Travel Conference, which was an event up in Pocahontas State Park. And Virginia Green, just for a little bit of background, is a coalition of organizations that works to support sustainable and green ecotourism within industries in Virginia. And so this conference was an event where groups got to come together and talk about some of the things that they're doing, share some success stories of very high environmental or sustainable industries and businesses in the area. And then also we have seniors that throughout in the environmental studies program have been working on Eco Summit projects, which is where they get to do a project with their internship that they're paired up for and get to have a hands-on experience with that community partner. And a couple of our students had done projects that related to ecotourism, and so they were given an opportunity to present at this conference. And so it was a really cool and valuable opportunity for me as a student to be able to go see these students doing this incredibly cool presentation to these relatively distinguished individuals and get to just go kind of see what my opportunities might look like next year while also getting to learn about all these different things within ecotourism and the importance of natural resource conservation within our state.
That's really awesome. And again, comparing it back to when I was in high school, like 20 plus years ago, it just seemed like everybody was very interested in pop culture or, you know, what was happening at the basketball court after school. Do you find that most people within your peer group are also as interested in the ecosystem as you are?
I would probably say that, like, my peer group, yes, is involved, but that is also, I've kind of built a peer group based on my own involvement in the natural resource conservation, and so I might be a little bit biased, but I do think that partly because it's become such a political topic, but environmental conservation and sustainability is really present in our media, and I think that definitely has increase the number of people that, even if you're not an incredibly strong environmental advocate like I am, definitely more kids my age are talking about our natural environment.
You know, they say that's the age from teenage years to like mid 20s. You're trying to like really solidify your own self concept, your self idea. And I wanted to know that what I was doing was mine, mm-hmm. right? So when you think about your interests and you know that you're like, for example, your parents influenced you, your dad and his career influenced you. What makes you certain that this interest is yours and not a hand-me-down?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I mean, I think to just preface and begin by saying, I never really felt pressure from my dad to go into this field. I went to him with a lot of my interests because just growing up, we're kind of always out in nature, and like doing things like fishing, paddleboarding, kayaking, as I said, that kind of gave me an immediate interest in natural resources. But then it wasn't until I started learning more things at school about the problems that the environment was facing. And then I would kind of go to him and be like, hey, could you explain to me a little bit more about XYZ? Because this is like really concerning to me. And then that's kind of where like that sort of built from, I guess. And I think for me, I've kind of taken my own twist on in my path in environmental advocacy. And I want to do something a little more in the engineering and coastal resiliency field, whereas he is in the more science and advocacy field. And so I think being able to expand my knowledge in a slightly different direction is also affirming to me that this is my path in environmental science.
Awesome. I like how you're just able to explain it like that.
Yeah, I would tell you, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I was younger, and I knew I wanted to do something in the military just because it's been in my family, you know, for generations. But just like you said, it's how do you carve your own path mm-hmm. With creating those little intricacies that make you different? Because my dad's also an engineer, so it's hard to constantly have that shadow over you, right? So how are you kind of forging your own path throughout that journey? And it's just cool to see, at this age, how focused you already are on it. And how I knew in the military, my dad was heavy. Like, he did heavy engineering. Mm-hmm. So I stayed in the light world my whole life just to not have that shadow loom over me. So it's really cool that you've already kind of picked that path going forward.
I'm curious to know, do you know about the Army Corps of Engineers?
and the full spectrum of what it does? Like, have you been curious about it? When you're thinking about your career, because I heard you say engineering, mm-hmm. is the core an option?
Definitely. I don't have a very wide knowledge on the core right now. So I would appreciate some more information if you want to talk about mm-hmm. that.
So I would tell you that the Corps of Engineers is very unique depending on where you're at within the United States. For our mission set, we kind of have three big focus areas for the Norfolk District. So you have the military construction piece, where we're supporting a bunch of the military bases mm-hmm. within the Commonwealth of Virginia. We also support Arlington National Cemetery with construction projects up there. You have the civil works piece of it, which is all the environmental operations in terms of the Atlantic Intracoastal Waterways, as well as all the regulatory requirements that we do to support the Commonwealth. So I think that's kind of around the lane that you'd be focusing on, unless you want to do something similar to what Heather's doing, which is like project management for some of these restoration projects that we're building in. And then we have the emergency management piece at the district. So whenever there's a natural disaster within the Commonwealth, our team is there to support anything that the state is asking us to do in terms of support, as well as if it's a national emergency, then we would be working with FEMA to support those types of things. But those are really the three buckets of support that we provide. Obviously, there's a lot more, but don't want to get too much into the weeds, yeah. but just giving you a little kind of taste of what the Norfolk District does, that's kind of it in a quick glance.
Yeah, so thank you for that. I guess kind of just to bounce off, I think for me, I have, as I've kind of said, have grown up in Chesapeake Bay watershed, and so I think at least for a part of my life would like to get out of the year a little bit and go explore another body of water, or get either up north or down south and kind of do some more hands-on get some more hands-on experiences there. But I definitely am considering doing something through the military, and we actually just had the environmental studies program had some individuals come that were working with NAVFAC. Yes. Yep. And working with that program, and they were just kind of showing or talking about how a lot of individuals there have these kind of like, you know, roundabout job careers, and how they've done a lot of different things across really the East Coast really before they've ended up there. And so I kind of can see myself doing something like that, where I do a couple things, you know, all across, but end up coming back to an area like this and doing some restoration work with the Army Corps for sure.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We'd be glad to have you on the team.
So swinging back to the wetland site out at Thalia Creek, which is behind Princess Anne High School, I'm not sure how often or how many times you've gotten a chance to go out and do monitoring at that site, but you're aware that that effort exists as a cooperation, a partnership between yeah. the City of Virginia Beach and the Corps. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a really cool partnership, for sure. We go out there, it really depends on your class. I've been out there with my environmental studies class, I've been out there with my biology class, and I think, so it's just, when we're out there, it's kind of just dependent on what we're doing in school, and I do wish that our school system took a little bit more advantage of just having us, finding more ways to connect what we're learning to activities out there, because I think that there's something really valuable in just having more educational experiences outside and in mm-hmm. a natural environment. I think this is hopefully something that's going to become more of a trend in a lot of our in the future. I think there's like I was saying, a lot of power in having hands-on learning opportunities and giving students the opportunity to see, be able to connect what they're learning to real career fields. And so when we're able to do like random sampling out in that area, that gives, you know, we can do simulations in class where we're like, you know, randomly counting little beads of grains of rice or something right. on like a desk.
But there's tube.
Yeah. Okay. But there's something that's so much more disengaging, and I think more impactful of like being able to actually use that like meter squared sampling device and like go out and number how much frag's out there, how much spartina is out there. And so I hope that the city continues doing partnerships like this, where not only students are able to have more, just in general, more learning activities that are hands-on, but also can, yeah, see what they're learning be applicable to real-world professions and jobs type of thing.
Okay.
A little while ago, we, a couple months back, did a project where we were had to basically create like a science experiment of some type. It's called like a Group 4 project. It's part of an IB thing. But basically, me and my group of students wanted to compare the phytoplankton species. So we're looking at it is richness and there's another word that goes with it, but basically like the biodiversity of phytoplankton in that waterway, and then actually compare it to some of the other ecosystems that we're exposed to at the Brock Center in that Pleasure House Point natural area. And so we did the research. We were able to use plankton nets and go out in this go out in that marshy area, run the nets, and bring them back, look under microscopes and see our samples. And what we were able to find was there was significantly higher amounts of phytoplankton in some of our samples from...
From Thalia Creek?
Yes, from the Thalia Creek area. We made some hypotheses based on our observations, but it was really interesting just to see those differences.
It's important. It gets back to some of the past conversations that we've had in the podcast. It's exposure mm-hmm. at a younger age
right.
to some of the things that we're doing here at the district, because we're really focusing on getting the younger generation excited about STEM.
Yep.
So these are like the perfect opportunities. It's getting them into this field earlier to see some of those opportunities that do exist for your future.
Not all individuals have such a strong connection to natural resource conservation. And so to improve that really is just putting more funding and providing more opportunities for kids to have those opportunities. And like you're saying, at a younger age is really important, because that's when you're learning who you are and learning what your values are. And yeah.
I really agree with that. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I remember it was my senior year and they had us take a test. They ask you a series of questions so they can try to figure out what...
I remember this test, James.
...career field you would fall into. And I found myself giving the answer I thought was correct that I thought somebody else would like to hear. Because in my mind, I was 100% certain that I did not know what my passions were or how they could be applied professionally. I find it to be pretty daggone amazing.
It's always hard when you're at that age, right? Because you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. You're at that kind of point where you're trying to separate from your parents a little bit so you can get some personal space. You kind of want to adventure out and see the world a little bit for the first time. So hopefully you can experience Miami and get a little bit of flavor of that. I know the Jacksonville district's also out there.
Yep.
So if you're out there and they're looking for internships, that's another great opportunity for you to explore if you want to get a little bit more Definitely. Support from the Corps of Engineers.
All right, so like Major Funkhauser said, Aubrey, thank you very much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you.
When we texted earlier, you were in the car doing your homework. So she doesn't stop for a second. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's been awesome. It was a great day to be outside and have
this
podcast.
Yeah, this is lovely.
So James, thanks for putting this together. And then Aubrey, thank you for your time. And hopefully we'll be seeing you in the future on some more of these projects.
Yeah, I'd love to be engaged.
I swear the sun shifted. That was a shady spot before.
All good. I also, in the free time that I do manage to have, I also run cross country and track. So being outside in the sun is no problem for me.
That's all for this episode. Thanks for tuning into the Core Talk podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe if you've enjoyed this conversation and found the information to be interesting or useful. Your feedback matters. Remember to comment with any ideas or questions you may have regarding U.S. Army Corps of Engineers projects within your community. Episodes come out the first Wednesday of every month. Until next time.